Welcome to the Revolution Church Podcast.
Phone plugged in here. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I've got a new phone. My phone died the other day. Let me know if you can hear me, everybody. Phone died, so we've got all sorts of new fun technical issues to deal with. And I'm trying to get the talk to go this way, but it says I have to go into advanced settings. And I'm not sure where the advanced settings are for YouTube. So I'll do that afterwards. So I'm not doing it in an emergency, crazy fury, which I'm in right now. Feeling a little bit crazy. Ken, I believe it's Kenny, but it says Ken. It was on the thing. Sent us a music stand. So now I have a stand for talking to you guys, which I'm really excited about. Got some more books donated from the Amazon page. Got this, which I'm really excited about because we're really going to be doing a lot on John Hume this year. So very excited about this. And you guys know that I like Dan McClellan a lot. Someone sent me his book, so I'm really excited about that as well. So I just want to thank everybody for helping out. So here's my old phone. And it died, which is really weird. We've got a computer that I'm trying to use, but it's actually too slow. It was a gift from a friend of mine named Chad, but it's just really slow. So we're going to try to work that out as well. We're really trying to make everything better, but we need your guys' support. Speaking of support, if you want to support us, you can go to revolutionchurch.com and make donations there. And the reason I bring that up is, like, my phone died, so I paid for that phone out of my own pocket, and of course, I had to get a cover. I let Revolution pay for the cover, but the cover was only $25. The cover on the one you're seeing me in. Because this is what makes Revolution happy, so keep going and happen. So we got to keep everything connected, you know. But we do really, really need your support. This month would be really great just because we had some extra costs that we didn't see coming. And our financial folks are probably going to call me and be like, you put a $25 charge for a iPhone case on the Revolution card, which I haven't used in months for anything because we've been on such a tight budget, but it was a need. So that's the need. We got a need. We probably need to raise about $2,000 in the next couple weeks. It would really help keep us going. I hate starting the talk off with fundraising. You know, you automatically start losing people, but anyhow, that's where we're at. Hey, listen, we finally made it to Galatians 5, so I'm really excited about that. It seemed to be taking forever. So we finally got there. It's wild how, like, addicted we become and how like, we become so so dependent on our phones. I had to get to the phone store and I had to go over to my ex-wife's house and have her write out directions. I was like, man, I'm so dependent on this thing. I can't get anywhere. I couldn't call anybody. I just had to show up to people's houses. I have an old computer, so it's really slow, but I was able to send a few people like emails. I'm like, dear Monima, I hope this week finds you fine. You know? Being addicted to technology is crazy. Anyhow, talks amongst yourselves. I got to grab my Bible really quick. Like I said, I was a little bit excited this morning and lost track of time. All right, folks, Galatians 5, we've made it. So my daughter went to get her ears pierced this week. And it hurt. So she's only six, and she only got one because her ear, it hurt so bad. And so today her mom took her, and she told her mom, she's like, I think I can get the other one if Dad and you come with me. So after this, we're going to go get my daughter's other ear pierced. I think she wants to have both her ears pierced for school. And we're going to go there and support her. Well, welcome to Galatians 5, everybody. What I think this is like part 11 or part 12 of Galatians. This is the longest we've ever gone through Galatians. And I think it's just been great. I've been really enjoying it. And it's really opened up like ideas for stuff that we're going to continue to do in the future. We're definitely going to do Tillich following this. We're going to do Tillich's You Are Accepted after this. And you can find that, you can Google that anywhere. Just Google Tillich, You Are Accepted, and that talk will come up, and you can it's written. He never spoke it. But if you want to hear it, you can also look for it on anywhere you podcast on Revolution, because we had Pete Rollins read it for us, so you could hear it in a very lovely Irish accent. And so he read it for us, so that's really cool too. That's like our number one listen to thing, which is great because I love Pete and I love Tillich, so those are the best. So check that out if you get a chance. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and turn on the notifications. All those things really help us a lot when you do that. So if you can like the talk, follow us, and put on the notifications, that helps us just be in the algorithm. Just like if on Instagram, if you like just like our stuff or even save it, that helps us keep us just in the rotation. So, and I think a like is free. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't do anything. You just heart that stuff and or give us a thumbs up, and that really helps get this out there and do more. So please, if you can, help us with that. I know some of you have been asking me about updates about my dad. My dad, I know, I talked to my stepbrother, and he said that Dad did a show. So he must be getting his strength back, but said he was really exhausted afterwards. He's been getting many strokes, as some of you know. But he did a show, so I guess that's good news. I'm exhausted. Teresa asked me how I'm doing. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. It's crazy when you're on such a tight budget and then something like a phone dies or things like that, and you have to kind of cover it, you know, and the church can't cover it, and I had to cover it, and, you know, it's tough. It's kind of tough living, but you know what? This is what I'm called to do. This is what I love to do, and this is what gets me up every morning, every day. This is my passion. My passion is helping people learn about the Apostle Paul and Galatians, and loving each other and disagreeing well, and grace and acceptance of others and loving of others. This is just, you know, it's nothing I can get away from. And it pulls me back in. I'm stuck doing this. I love Revolution, and this is my call. Do you eat pork? Sometimes. All right. It's a random question, but I guess maybe it will fit with Galatians and some of the rules here. All right, so we're in Galatians 5. If you're new to this, Galatians is a letter by the Apostle Paul written to the Galatians because they're divided. They're divided between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and the Jewish Christians have come in and said you need to be circumcised and you need to do these things if you really want to be a Christian, and Paul is saying, no, that's not how it is. And what's interesting about this letter is it's a kind of a rebuke letter, but it's also a letter of Paul trying to prove himself worthy of being an apostle. But it's also probably the greatest letter of grace in the Bible, in my opinion, and teaches us a lot about grace and shows us how to come together, shows us how to disagree well. Yes, Jesus probably didn't eat pork, you're right. But those laws changed, and now Paul maybe have ate bacon, I don't know. But anyhow, fun. That's a fun little factoid you got there for us. Of all the weird things we get here on YouTube, all the weird little facts and people like, say my name. I think it's a game when they say your name. But that's where we're at. So Galatians 5, unfortunately, like I thought we were going to get really far in 5 today. And the last verse in 5, which is around 14 and 15, are my two of my favorites of the book. But we're not going to get there today. Laws don't change, but you just don't obey. Obviously, no offense to you, but you don't understand how the New Covenant works or biblical history works. And that's great, though. I'm glad you're here because you'll learn about it right now. We're talking about it. Because what a point of this whole book of Galatians is Paul saying, do not get circumcised. You don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to celebrate certain holidays. You don't need to abstain from food, sacrifice to idols. You know, that's all changed now with Christ and the New Covenant. So that's, Paul led me astray. All right. Well, you know, if that's how you feel, that's great. And this might not be the place for you, you know, or you can say what you want to say, but I'm a Christian, so that's where I'm at. And these are we're going to be talking about Christianity today. You're more than welcome to stay if you'd like. I'm free from the law and pretty stoked about it. So here we go. Galatians 5. 1 says the slaves, and 5 and for freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And so one of the things that Paul is saying here when he says stand firm is really interesting, especially if you look at it in a way of the, it's really interesting because of predestination and Calvinist doctrine and things like that are really interesting to me. And here in some ways, Paul doesn't seem to be very Calvinist or very into, you know, the idea. Paul doesn't seem to be a preacher of once saved, always saved. Another thing that's really interesting as about Paul is that in any of his writings, he never mentions hell. In any of his actual writings, he never mentions hell. So that's also very interesting. And of course, Paul was a Pharisee and a rabbi and a teacher of religious law as well. So he talks a lot about what he talks about here. It's very interesting. Matter of fact, part of the argument in here, Paul says that how some people say, oh, the law is for the people. But what's happened is the legalism has come in. Yes, I will do. I will eat with sinners and love my neighbors as myself and eat with those who are seen as unclean by the law and love my neighbors and love my enemies. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But Jesus said, love your enemy, do good to those who persecute you. So thank goodness for that, right? So stay from freedom of Christ. Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And what Paul is calling the yoke of slavery is religious rules, the religious law of the time, and what the Judaizers have come in and said, you need to be under the law again. And you're no longer required to be under the law. Christ has set us free, and if you're free, stay free indeed. You were made right by the Spirit, not by obeying certain rules or regulations. Now, one of the things that is interesting is Paul never told people who were still practicing Judaism in their Christianity that they needed to change. He was just saying to them, don't put your convictions onto the Gentile converts. And don't tell the converts that they have to obey the law, because that's not how Christianity comes. And the law doesn't do anything. There's nothing wrong with practicing it and doing these things, but the law is not what brings salvation. And Christ and Paul are very, very clear about that. But it's interesting because he says stand firm. And the way when Paul says stand firm, it almost seems as though he's speaking of free will, which I find really, really interesting. Because so many people who don't believe in free will are usually use Paul as the reason why they don't. That's not the message we're doing today, but that's just kind of an idea behind it. But for Paul, Christ liberates us not only from sin, but for the need for external rules. And these external rules, because Paul really believes that the Spirit is going to change you, that God's going to convict you, and believes in that, and believes that you don't need to follow rules and regulations and things like that. You know, and last week we talked about theological manipulation and how we often, theologians and theology, will manipulate us to be to control us. And a lot of the church becomes a kind of a grace monitor or a kingdom monitor or a God monitor. You know what I mean? It's like different, you know, the right conservative Christians will have their own type of purity culture of what they believe. And then people on the left have their own type of purity culture and what they believe. And it kind of becomes this theological manipulation of like, well, this is what you have to do. These are the rules and regulations. And we create a new law, and then we create those laws. And Paul is very clear that there is no law, and that we're set free from that law. And so we've got to be careful of theological manipulation. Paul said the law served a time to keep us under protective custody, but we're no longer under protective custody, which is, you know, what a great thing, you know, and we're all sons and daughters of Abraham, but we're under protective custody. So, unfortunately, today, a lot of, I think, Christians, well-meaning Christians, are still there keeping us under this kind of protective custody, wanting to kind of lord over us and control us into, oh, you can do that, but you can't do that, in this hierarchy. But we've seen earlier on in Galatians when it says there's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Gentile, nor slave or free, for all are one in Christ. You start to realize like there's no hierarchy. You know, there's no level. Paul says actually, God is no respecter of man. Like, you know, God has no favorites. You know, we've set up this thing. Now, the pastoral epistles that say claim to be written by Paul aren't written by Paul at all. Those are actually forgeries. And you can see the hierarchy was getting reset up and the pastoral epistles. And so those are pseudo-Paul, or what some theologians call reactionary Paul. But for Paul, Christ liberates us not only from sin, but from the need for external rules. Now, does this mean we go, oh, we can do whatever we want, blah, blah, blah? Well, we're going to get into that in the end of five, in a few weeks, when we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And that's going to be really great. Also, you know, one of the things that I've read understanding from really good scholarship is, you know, often Jews longed for freedom from the oppression empire. You know, the Roman Empire was oppressing the Jews and Gentiles and over, you know, come over and they're like keeping everyone under oppression. They longed for this. But Paul was angry because he felt that some of the Jewish teachers were oppressing the open-minded Gentiles and demanding them to conform to the law, to conform to this way. And Paul said, we can't do that. That's not what we're called to do. To the point where the custom included genital mutilation, which is circumcision. You know, and so Paul, this is what Paul is really angry about here. And this is why he's saying, you know, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firmly there and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And what he means by the yoke of slavery is these external rules. What he means by eternal is oppression to a group of Gentiles who don't have the baggage of the law. You know, often Christians come into, you know, new people come into the church and we give them all this baggage of theology and doctrine and dogma and all these things. And we demand conformity. And this seems to be against the message of Paul, which is really kind of beautiful to me, because I've always felt like even the church in general has always kind of had this demand of conform. Conform or get out. And yes, I would just like to say that this person Flabbergabba, who's
obviously under a fake name and doesn't have their picture, just come in and you're really trolling us right now, and it's, I don't understand why. Seems like you're angry, but, you know, could you respect this community? You're welcome here. We just ask that you be kind and learn to disagree well. That would be really nice. If you don't like the Apostle Paul, then this is definitely not probably the community for you. It's very Paulinian. to each his own, I guess. Now, one of the things that really amazed Paul here too was is that Roman citizenship, you know, why Paul, I think another reason why Paul was so upset is like, because you could become a Roman citizen without worshiping their deities or following their rules or regulations. And here Paul felt like the Judaizers, this group who was coming of the Jewish Christians were coming in and saying, no, you have to be this. And the reason why circumcision was such a big focus is that was kind of seen as the completion. Like they would thought like, well, by now you're obeying these rules, you're observing the holidays, you know, you're doing these certain things, and circumcision is the completion, and that's how you receive Christ. And Paul would say that is literally making the death of Christ in vain. And Paul has said that in, I believe, yeah, it was in back in Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So we have that there. 5:2 says, listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And like I just explained, like circumcision was also often seen as the final step of conversion. It's so funny because I used to think of that. That's how I used to think of baptism. I was like, oh, you got to be baptized. That's the final step. But it's as though that circumcision and these rules were a supplement to justification. You know, like Christ is not quite sufficient. Like Christ, Jesus is good. Christ is good, but not sufficient enough. So we're going to give you this supplement of rules and laws, and we're going to give you this supplement of, you know, how you can be really justified because Christ isn't quite enough. And I think if we really listen in communities of faith, I think we often hear this. I think there's often an underlining belief that grace isn't enough, like it's too good to be true. And I don't think this is done out of a hurtful heart, but I think this is done out of the need to be keep ourselves busy, to have more, and be really like have a hard time in accepting one's acceptance and receiving one's acceptance, as we'll talk about in a few weeks of the Paul Tillich's talk about you are accepted. But, you know, again, I want to say Paul never discouraged Jews from observing these ideas and their traditions. It was just he didn't want these to be made as laws and regulations to follow Christ under, you know, and did not want the Gentiles, who he was called to feel that they were under the law, that they were prisoners to the law. Romans 5:3 goes on to say, once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the entire law. For if you want to be justified by the law, you have cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. And so, you know, it's growing up, I'd always heard this term, fall from grace. Matter of fact, there was a TV movie made about my parents called Fall from Grace, which was really bizarre. But this concept, and I one of my books that I wrote was called Fall to Grace. One of the reasons, you know, falling from grace is not you made a mistake, you did this. Falling to grace is when we go back and try to earn our salvation, you know. you know, like we have this person here say, oh, you're poor knowledge, you don't have any of these things, oh, you don't understand, Jesus didn't eat pork. And this is someone who has their faith in the law, and they don't need grace. And so they probably follow all the law, follow the rules and all the regulations. But Paul is saying that's not for us. And we are saved by grace, not by works. No one can boast. There's nothing we can do to talk about it. It's not about us. It's about God and about Christ and about sacrifice. And that's great, right? And we are made complete because of Christ. And Paul Tillich would even argue that we are accepted even beyond that, before that, even before that. And I might argue that, well, we are accepted, that coming into Christ is coming into the realization that you are accepted, that you are loved, and you can't do these things. But you got to remember, these folks were being told that some were being told, as we have someone here right now doing this, which is really interesting and kind of cool to be a part of this. Circumcision was necessary for conversion. This was their argument. Circumcision counts as an agreement. It's an obligated obedience. That's what was being taught. And that's what Paul's coming in and saying, no, this isn't what it's about. But for Paul and his ideas is what he felt these folks were coming and doing and saying, like, you know, picking and choosing the commandments which they could follow. And Paul said, if you're going to follow the law, you got to follow the whole law. You know, you don't get to just pick and choose the laws you want. Like here in 5:3, I'll read it again. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the entire law. And so the idea is, if you accepting some commandments implied the validated all of the commandments. So if you accepted some, you're validating all the commandments and saying all the commandments are good, and you are obligated to follow all the commandments. So there you go. Then we get into 5:4 again, which says, let's read 5:4 one more time. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. It's almost like deconversion. But why I want to be really honest about the Apostle Paul, and what I really want to be like, is like, you know, why I want to talk about this is interesting, is like Paul almost, you see like Paul's being like, you can convert and you can deconvert, which is not this kind of once saved, always saved thing, which I've always kind of felt connected to. It's not predestination. It's none of that that he's speaking of here. But you also have to remember that the Apostle Paul never mentions hell, never talks about hell. He talks about different things, but never hell, which is really, really interesting. So I find that interesting, very interesting. And we have to remember that the book of Galatians, this is another thing, was written way before the Gospels were written. It is written much more closer to Christianity, the moment of Christ and Christ's life, than any, you know, the Gospels are written 70 years later. You know, this is, we're within probably 10, 20 years of Christ's lifetime. And Paul's interacting with Peter and all the disciples and things like this. So these are folks who knew each other, knew what was going on. These letters are written in that lifetime, which is really incredible too. And so I think sometimes we have to look at the Gospels as, you know, I have to look at the Gospels with a critical eye to make sure, you know, hey, what's belongs here and what doesn't. So the idea that Paul never speaks of hell makes you go, like, what's the point then? You know, why Christianity? Why any of that? And I've been doing this for 30 years, and I can tell you, you know, my faith has changed and grown and evolved and then devolved and re-evolved, and I've had a lot of doubt. I don't think doubt is the opposite of faith. Like Tillich said, it's an integral part of our faith. Otherwise, it would be belief or fact or things like this. But what's the point of Paul if Paul's not mentioning hell and he's not threatening us with internal damnation? But he'll say things like the accursed or people like this or that. But what we're really going to get into soon is the fruits of the Spirit of peace and patience and kindness and joy. Loving others, loving your neighbors, not destroying other people, not giving empty bickering, you know, living with in a community and learning to live with differences, learning about compromise, learning to, you know, accept that some people are not going to accept what your way is, which is very interesting. And so for me, Paul's message here is, you know, why Christianity is, because, well, Paul believed that Christ was the answer and the Messiah, but he also believed that through Christ, through grace, you know, natural things occurred. The Spirit occurs, and the Spirit brings us things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You know, something that we see very lack of today, especially in social media, especially how we carry each other and how a lot of us demand our own way. And we're incapable of having adult arguments without insulting one another. And, you know, we've got to learn to argue well and disagree well with respect and love and compassion. And I think Paul sees that. I think Paul feels Christ is the way, you know, but I believe he sees the fruits show us that why we hunger for peace of mind for humanity. And that there's a much bigger issue here for the here and now as well. You know, so many people talk about Christianity and think, oh, it's fire insurance. What's afterlife? Do I believe in life after death? And it's like, no, I believe in life before death. And a lot of what Paul is preaching is here is how do we show compassion to our fellow human beings? How do we live in community? How do we care about each other? How are we to be careful that we aren't torn apart by each other, that it's not all this destruction, that it's not all, what did he say? The opposite, the flesh desires. I'll go into some of that. Envy and starting fractions and sowing discord and that type of thing. So Paul feels Christ is the way and nothing else. And he believes that's through the Spirit. And I found that relationship. So as I was going through some of this, I was really blown away by the fact of this concept of being set free from the law and how the church creates another law. And so let me... Let's look at it. I'm surprised how many... folks we have coming in just to kind of stir things up. Welcome to Revolution and welcome to the community. One of the things we really do try to do here is argue well and disagree well. And I understand it's very easy to hide under a pseudonym or a fake name and things like that and you know, say things like that. But we really try to be a community that's able to disagree well. I mean, we are a community of some believers, some atheists, some agnostics, conservative, and Democrats, you know, and we try to come together and build a community where we can work together. So that's what we're called to do. And that's what we do. So I was, a friend of mine, Tony Jones, who's been a lifelong friend and has helped me through quite a bit in my life. And we've been good friends for quite a few years. Sent me an article written by Paul Tillich's grandson and talking about Paul Tillich's theology, his grandson's kind of view of his grandfather's theology. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. This is about Paul Tillich, and I'm going to read from this. I'll post the article up on our Instagram site so you guys can check out the whole thing. Tillich was quite a radical character. He was kicked out of Germany by Adolf Hitler, came over to the United States. I believe he was about 47 and had to learn to speak English. He was a philosopher and a theologian and learned English and taught at Union Seminary. He taught all over the world, but Union Seminary was on it. He's written an amazing collection of systematic theologies, volume 1, 2, and 3, which are insane. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Tillich today because I thought what Tillich's grandson was saying, his name is Ted Ferris, And the name of the article is A Man Beyond Categories, about his father. But I just really found it inspiring and kind of where we're at right now. So I'm going to try to read that to you guys. Hopefully I've got this in the correct order. I've never been able to use my phone before when we did these talks. I feel like we're having an argument with sixth graders now, and sixth grade understanding of the Bible. Anyhow, Tillich thought fused religion and secular ideas of morality by refusing any fixed moral ideology, by rejecting traditional notions on authoritarian, top-down, God rules man, and a man serves God, religious approach. He conceived of a love and justice as the unifying social force and the force of the fundamental anxiety created by the human morality and separateness. For Tillich, religion, morality, and meaning came from humans, not from God. He focused on the experience and the feelings of upward-looking humans searching for meaning rather than on a religious superstructure of a downward-looking God. This is as much a psychological approach as a religious one. Tillich's approach promotes acceptance of our humanness, our mortality, our finite being, and the different ideas and meanings of morals that we each develop for ourselves. His openness to the existential uncertainty confronting all people and considering the question of the ultimate importance was rare in theological circles during his time. One of the other things that's really interesting is that Tillich was actually on the cover of Time magazine in I believe it was 1958. Tillich applied the logic even to the church, writing that no church has the right to put itself in the place of the ultimate concern. Like, no church has the right to play God. Leviticus. Read all of Leviticus, putty cat. Christianity is no longer under those laws. We've been set free from the law. It's just basic, like, knowledge, like even face value biblical knowledge. So you can look all that stuff out. I mean, you're really doing like a sixth grade reading of the Bible, which is fine, but you're just you don't understand the history behind those writings, nor the scholarship that goes into those writings, and also you've got to take in the context and the time and to whom it was written. Those covenants are no longer there, and most Levitical covenants were never really made for most people anyway, more like priests at the time and the Old Testament. All right, sorry everybody, I don't want you to get distracted by the friends, our friends here, but we want to try to answer the questions the kindest way we can. Grandson goes on to say, to avoid the almost inevitable tendency towards institutional authoritarianism, Tillich writes that creedal expressions of faith, i.e. specific denominational beliefs, rituals, and sacraments, now listen to this, must never be regarded as the ultimate. You know, then they must always make room for criticism and doubt. And for me, like, a lot of these things, like, oh, you can't question these creeds or these ideas. So certain denominations, oh, you have to have this creed or that creed. And I've just never wanted to really be into creeds, to be honest with you. Most of them man-made and denominationally given, to just try to say, well, this is what it is. This has got to be how we believe, you know. The Bible doesn't say enough, or this doesn't say enough, so we've got to have all this stuff, and you have to believe this, you know. And I think that the idea of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one, and the Trinity is great, but it's still a man-made idea. We have to remember that. We must never be regarded as ultimate, but must always make room for criticism and doubt. Aneologically, Tillich defined morality not as a system of religious-inspired rules, but as the free expression by an individual to whom he or she is as a person. He rejected rigid moralism, which we see a lot of in the Christianity, is this moralism idea. We see it on the right and we see it on the left. So he rejected rigid moralism as coming from rules outside the individual. Instead, he conceived of a morality as arising in each of us based on our feelings of love and justice for others in our world. Now, this is where peacemaking comes in. This is where you look at people like Dr. King or people like John Hume, who helped stop the troubles, the Civil War in Northern Ireland. You know, these people who are concerned with the other, not just those who followed their own faith, or not just those who are on, you know, identify as they identify. But, you know, Tillich believed that we infused with justice, not ideology, was the source of all morality. The unifying focus to bridge an ontological separation that was experienced as individual begins. Beings, as individual beings, this separation. He rejects the idea of a frozen, concrete moral content. Rules are merely a collection of current social wisdom about how to live and are not morality. Blind obedience to rules is mere submission to an authoritarian master. Morality comes from within. And so you have to trust that morality comes, that we're not under the, you know, this system, these masters, you know. I'm going to read a little bit more of this, and then we can move on. He said, "When I think of my grandfather's work, I always come back to the centrality of doubt, his thought in his thoughts." He concluded the courage to be with a much misunderstood final sentence, and perhaps inspired by his horrific experience in the First World War. The Courage to Be was written in 1952. It's an incredible book if you can read it, so definitely check that out. The courage to be is rooted in the God who appears when the God has disappeared in the anxiety of doubt. And Tillich often would talk about the God beyond God, that the God that when the God of our own understanding seems to die, seems to abandon us. Like when Christ was on the cross and yells out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? You know, and at this moment, Christ feels abandoned by God. You know, and it's very powerful. And, you know, what I like about Tillich is this idea that we are these finite beings trying to understand the infinite and doing our best to understand the infinite, but we never can. And Tillich also had this idea that God was the ground of being, and that God wasn't like swimming around in the stars and things like that, but God was not even in existence, was outside of existence. And that we're, as finite beings, doing our best to understand the infinite. So when we start to rethink these things and start to see these things deeper, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to fall on that, oh, God's a mystery. But I just recently had someone who I would say is becoming a friend, or is an acquaintance, but becoming a friend, who wants me on there, asked me to be on his podcast, but it's kind of like this atheist podcast. And, you know, what I said was, I don't have any way to prove that there is a God or there isn't a God, and I don't think that it's a fruitful conversation. You know, I don't think that it's kind of bores me at this point. You know, I'm a finite being trying to understand the infinite, and you know, I can't prove God any more than Richard Dawkins can disprove God. You know, and what is God and what is that? But as I've suffered in this world and as I go through my own life struggles, I've accepted myself and my humanity is finite, and that I won't ever come to the final conclusion of what that is. But within this lifetime, I will do my best to make sure that my enemies and my brothers and my sisters and all those folks, and I think that's what we're all trying to do here at Revolution, are able to have jobs where they have enough pay to pay their bills, where we live in a place where, you know, faith isn't legislized. Our convictions aren't made into laws, but a place where all people can live and make a livable wage and to be able to, I mean, you can't eat a flag, you can't eat a Bible, you know, and that we really do take care of one another in this world. And that's what Christianity has really driven me to, is to see even more. I want to be a peacemaker, you know. We can have a lot of these theological conversations or scientific conversations or even scholarly conversations and arguments. I would be more comfortable when we know that all we're all taken care of, then I know that we're all able to eat, that we're all able to, you know, that we help the homeless and we're helping the dying and we're helping the sick and that people don't have to suffer. And that it's not about us and them, but we're always caring for all people, helping love them and bring them to Christ. Livable wage. You can pay, you know, on minimum wage, you can afford a house and take care of your children and feed your family. That's a livable wage, where you can go to the doctor and not go bankrupt and become homeless. That's, to me, would be a livable wage in this world. And but, you know, that's going to require a lot of patience and time. But to me, that's what Christianity has brought to me. But I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the work of Dr. King. I'm grateful for the work of Paul Tillich. I'm grateful for John Hume. I'm grateful for the Apostle Paul. And I'm grateful for the fact that we're able to have these discussions and that this is where this really in-depth study on Galatians has brought us. And that's what we'll continue to do. So listen, folks, I know that this has been kind of a bizarre gathering today because we've had some folks on here kind of coming after us and questioning things, and that's fine because questions are fine. But they also, you know, can be distracting, and especially when they're coming to an idea of there's a place and a time. You know, I'm Jay Baker with 2 K's on Instagram. If you'd really like to have a conversation there, you can do that and we can talk there. This is kind of our week to kind of get together and talk about these things. Yeah, and like you said, if you don't want to eat pork, you don't have to eat pork. That's great. That's your conviction. And I would far as tell you that you have to do anything. I'm just like want you to follow your own convictions. And if you don't want to get tattoos, don't get tattoos if that's your conviction. And maybe another time we can have an actual conversation about this type of thing. But this right now is kind of, we're going through a study. This is a book study, folks. This isn't, we're not answering all the questions. We're talking about a very small part of a book in the Bible that we've been going through an in-depth study. So this isn't like, hey, we're going to cover everything in Christianity. You know, this is, we're covering a small part and we're doing an in-depth study. And this is what it is. This is a gathering and we come together once a week to do this. But thanks, everyone, so much. Listen, like I said before, for us to continue our work, we need your support, and you can do that at revolutionchurch.com. And tax-deductible donation, we're 501c3. Also, I suffer from I'm on a medication that causes me to shake, flab jabs or whatever your name is. So you can donate there. Other ways you can help us is by liking, giving us the thumbs up, and by following us here, subscribing to the podcast, putting on the, there's something that you can put on so you get a little put on the notifications when we come on. You can do that as well. Just want to thank everybody for coming. This is never easy. I mean, I don't know. I love the fact that we have like open discussion and we have people asking questions, and you guys have all, you know, so many of you have been so encouraging. But I also wonder if maybe going forward we take the questions down off the screen, and maybe I do that later just so we don't get too distracted. Because, I mean, this is YouTube. Everybody and their mother is on here. So we can kind of stay to the point at cross, and then I can answer questions individually later. So anyhow, thank you all for coming today. Like I said, you know, the phone died. broke, had to get a new phone. So our budget is a little bit more this month. So we really could use the financial support to do that. And like I said before, also on social media, it really helps when you like our content or share it with others, or if you save it, it helps get the content out there and spread the word. So yeah, thanks everybody. Have a great week. We'll be back with Galatians 5 next week. I hope we can get through most of Galatians 5, but I have an idea that we'll probably be in Galatians for another month. And but that's cool, because that's what we're doing, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm also really excited. We're going to do Tillich after that, and then we're going to do a Dr. King talk after that. And then who knows, maybe we'll do some jump into Romans. I'm thinking about doing a separate discussion group on this, on John Hume. I'm not sure if we'll go through this book or his autobiography, which was written before the peace process, before the Good Friday Agreement. We'll check that out. So thanks, everybody. Peace and love, lots of grace, and to those troublemakers, keep making trouble, keep asking questions. You know, I hope you guys find the peace you're looking for as well. You accept it.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To make your 100% tax-deductible donation today, please visit revolutionchurch.com/donate. You can also learn more by clicking the donate section on the website.